At Georgia State University's CREATE Project, we know how hard it is to train highly skilled teachers. And we know in this climate, it's even harder to keep them. Our unique teacher residency model gives teacher residents the vital tools, skills, and dispositions necessary for K-12 education. We train teachers in research-based practices to support all students with rigorous, culturally relevant instruction. The CREATE Project is dedicated to nurturing a community of highly skilled and thriving educators who embody equity-centered practices, trust, collaboration, and remain fiercely committed to working alongside students and the communities they serve to reimagine Atlanta Public School classrooms as spaces for deep joy, liberation, and flourishing. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the speaker's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Georgia State University. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The Georgia State University name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
To meet the CREATE Teacher Residency's expansive goals, we're here today to discuss the design and impact of an immersive teacher workshop. A workshop that utilizes concepts of place-based education, the Southeast and Atlanta-based movement organizing work of Ella Baker, Luginia Hope, and Septima Clark, and the expertise of community-based organizations, all to deepen the critical consciousness of our future teachers. Hi, I'm Jacob Hackett, a clinical associate professor at Georgia State University. And for the past 7 years, I've been the director of Georgia State University's Middle Level Education Teacher Preparation Program. And a cornerstone of my teacher preparation philosophy is integrating strong, active, and progressive community partnerships. That's why our guest today is Ayinde Summers, the Land and Freedom Project Coordinator at Project South here in Atlanta. Ayinde is an accomplished outdoor leadership trainer, a popular educator, a historian, and a literacy specialist. He's also a well-known community leader here in Atlanta and throughout Georgia, and is deeply committed to linking African traditions and practices from the Gullah Geechee Georgia coast here to community growth and development in Atlanta neighborhoods. Guest is a very powerful term because there is an art to hosting guests, right? And I want to say, though, that Ayinde, to me, is even more than a guest, a thought partner, a co-constructor, a co-conspirator. And yeah. Somebody that I rely on personally and conceptually and theoretically on so many different levels. So I just want to thank him so much for being here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Today, we're going to be talking about a project that is very near and dear to our hearts, which is the Ella Baker, Luginia Hope, and Septima Clark Institute.
Yep.
Now, this, to give you a little bit of context, this institute is a summer institute that falls with halfway through the teacher preparation program here at Georgia State for middle grades preparation. So we service undergrads here and offer a teacher's certification along with a middle grades education degree. And that is a 2-year cohort based degree and certification. And this particular workshop and institute happens halfway through. So if you can kind of picture that along the continuum of teacher preparation. Teacher preparation is super important to the both of us because of how we service schools and where we come from in our worldview. This is you can see all of the people involved in this project. So here is just a little overview of a lot of the people who are in agencies who are involved in this project. So that pulls a little bit in the way, but you can see how far it spans.
We've got the CREATE Project. We've got the Fulton County Remembrance Coalition. We've got the Learning for Justice, Auburn Avenue Research Library, Project South, and EJI, which is over in Montgomery, Alabama. We'll talk about the importance of partnering with EJI and Montgomery here in a moment. So how about, as a representative of Project South, we want to talk about a little bit of initiatives that are going on at Project South.
Sure. Here. Yeah. So one of the things I was thinking about when you were talking is how independent of our relationships, each one of those entities have their own separate relationships.
Yes.
So then it just weaves this really strong bond. And it's like over 30, 40 years of relationships that Georgia State has with Project South outside of the Ed Department, mm-hmm. And Project South with EJI, and even the inception of EJI, which is the Equal Justice Initiative, and Brian Stevens, and Auburn Avenue, and Project South. And so what we do at Project South is we definitely pull on our relationships across the region. So 13 states, including Puerto Rico, and Africa, countries within throughout Africa, West Africa in particular, and some East African nations as well. We have relationships across where we build people power. So specifically what that means is we do assemblies. We lean on the tradition that comes from the Black radical tradition that pulls people together, people who traditionally they don't have voices. And we put them in a room, and we get them to connect and create opportunities to give each other permission to be wrong, and then come up with solutions for ourselves as people. Some of the things that we have done more recently, we just sent a delegation down to support the Gullah Geechee festivals that are happening during this season. So we've been sending delegations down to support them. Those are nonprofit organizations throughout the Gullah Geechee community, which is on the coastline, stretching from the southernmost part of North Carolina to the northernmost part of Florida. There are 26 islands that we call Saltwater Geechee, and about 20 miles inland from those areas are also Geechee, but we call that Freshwater Geechee. And so there are, you know, different festivals and things that organizations and nonprofits have across the region to bring awareness to some of the plight of the original African families that came to the Americas and stayed in that area. Anything ranging from land issues to, again, education issues, environmental issues, and Project South, we find ourselves supporting those communities with the best of our ability, and with all of our energy, we find ourselves working. So that's one of the more recent things that we've done. The other thing that we've done is we participated and were instrumental inside of the organizing of events across the U.S. There was a U.S. social forum that happened in 2007 that Project South brought here to Atlanta. 20,000 people came from Hawaii, Mexico, all 50 states. And then we all met at the Civic Center. And so those are some of the things that we've done in the past. And again, we did a similar thing, convenings, opportunities for people to work some of their things out. We have more recently been pushing back against some of the things that have happened with the illegal detaining of immigrants here in the state of Georgia, and pushing back on, you know, the treatment of folks that have come here to look for asylum, that have come here to look for, you know, work and to progress their communities. And we are, again, stepping in to support them best we can. And so those are some of the things that we, some of the initiatives that we at Project South have been working on and, mm-hmm. and involved in.
Nice. So that is a very high level picture of all the different initiatives. And we so appreciate that, because oftentimes when we think about teachers, yes. and educators and classroom teachers, we can talk about preparing them and supporting them in a very clinical aspect. So we really focus on skills and instructional skills, which are important, right? But we don't as much talk about how they should be working and could be working in solidarity with the communities that they serve.
Right.
Right. So thinking about from an ecological perspective, thinking about all the broader community, that the community is much more important and doesn't end at the schoolhouse walls, which is often right. the case. And I come from a teacher preparation program, my own preparation, mm-hmm. That was very traditional, and it didn't incorporate necessarily the community vantage. But I remember all the way back in 08 when we met mm-hmm. and I was teaching for APS. Being able to have a community partner as a community educator to question some of the assumptions that classroom teachers can take into the classroom
yes.
and expand their view to incorporate community perspectives
yes.
is something that really jostles a lot of your assumptions mm-hmm. that you bring in as a classroom teacher. And so that's super important. Mm-hmm. And that's where that partnership comes into play. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a little visual of how we're thinking about preparing teachers here through the Create Teacher Residency, and especially focus just honing in all on this one sliver of the residency, which is the Baker, Ella Baker, Lugenia Hope, and Septima Clark Institute.
Sure.
So maybe y'all can see the image there, which is like a rope, right? These are our evolving theoretical frames that ground both the practice and the research for this particular project, which is very exciting. I think this is cutting edge. I know this is cutting edge, but mm-hmm. really what it is incorporating a lot of different theoretical and literature bases that don't often talk to each other. So if we think about the first thread that's up there, which is around critical theory, which is sort of the content mm-hmm. of Baker Hope Clark, which is really focuses on critical race theory and movement builders. So the actual people yes. of Ella Baker, Lugenia Hope, and Septima Clark, which we'll talk about here in a moment, mm-hmm. As historic movement builders.
Yes.
And how critical race theory and other critical intersectional theories can allow us to understand inequality and inequity within the systems around our schools and our curriculum. So that's a really big component, right? Mm-hmm. And then we think about the structure, which is, here's a fancy dancy word, onto-epistemological plurality. It's a mouthful. But really that is the types of knowledge mm-hmm. that we incorporate into the ways that we prepare teachers. And if we think about a thread of teacher preparation and teacher education, which is community-based teacher education. So shout out to Peter Morrell and Ken Zeichner and others who have been promoting a more of a community-oriented, a community-based teacher preparation
sure.
Vantage, which is that structure there. And then if we think about the pedagogy that happens during the Institute, mm-hmm. which is much more of a place-based and experiential learning nature. So it's sure. place-based, it's very hyper-focused on the Southeast, Atlanta, mm-hmm. our local history, and our regional history, to understand that from a different perspective, but experience it, right?
Yes.
And that's where that popular education, and that's where the different locations come into play, which is Montgomery and Atlanta. Yes. For now, with other Gullah Geechee visions in the future. And so we'll talk about future visions for that. But so, and those threads come together to think about how teachers learn to expand their practice to be a little more critically conscious in nature.
Yeah. And so I'll offer a couple of things for the audience to look up. There's a place called Penn Center. Mm. It's in Buford, South Carolina, because it has its own website. They've been up for quite some time, but go into it. But into the point of around education, what they did was they used a method of each one teach one, as we used to say around here in the Atlanta area. When I was a youngster, is taking time to have coaching young people, finding those young people in your classroom that knew how to do the thing, that understood how you explained it, and then coaching them to teach the other children that didn't quite get this concept. sharing that. Well, when we talk about efficacy into some of these other theories around education, it allows now for people to take that knowledge, share it, and then as an educator, you get to kind of sit back and see how well you did in terms of teaching other people how to teach, right? And so now this thing just spreads. And so then we get to, again, take a look at some of the theories, right? And we look at the practical application and then the impact, right? And so then if we were looking at how would we describe these areas in more layman's terms, that's how I would describe it, right? And it gives us, again, it gives us an opportunity to look at how we're going to implement. And that the other piece is what we do in popular education is we walk into the conversation assuming or knowing, which is another piece in there, yes, right? That we would discuss, that the community already is in possession of the knowing, right? And so then what we need to do is we need to facilitate remembering, right? You already know how to do this. You've heard this word before, or you've heard these, you actually have the phonemic awareness. Mm-hmm. What we want you to do is now look at my mouth when I'm using the words, mm-hmm, right? And I want you to do what I'm doing. And so then it gives us an opportunity, you know, to kind of remove some of the barriers that come when we're trying or attempting to educate people from right. a position of, we call it S and I line, right? Superior, inferior.
Right.
Right. Right. So if we remove that and we say, hey, we're together. Now our students have a great model. When they get ready to do their each one teach one, mm-hmm, they have a great model to use because the teacher that was sharing with me doesn't see themselves as superior to me. Mm-hmm. And that superiority isn't a goal of mine, but rather democratization of information. We are together. We are one, right? So all I need, you know, I know. There's a concept in African philosophy, and I use that intentionally. On the continent, it is Ubuntu, and I am because you are, right? Instead of the philosophy that is, I think, therefore I am,
right?
Is and so we use that also when we're talking about education. How do I share this? What's the best method of allowing you to see the humanity in me? Mm-hmm. And then we're just going to feed off of each other. Right. So, yeah, I just wanted
no, that's great.
To put that in there.
It's absolutely, it's great. And so that's where the foundation of how we're approaching the work and the collaboration for Baker Hope Clark. So let's just talk a little bit briefly about why we center for the content of, yes, of this, why we center these three women throughout history. So we'll just a little briefly, like pretty high overview. Why do we center them? Ella Baker, Virginia Hope, and Satima Clark. And we'll leave Satima Clark for the end because of for the educational reasons, right?
Experiencing the students are experiencing the origins of what we know now today as citizenship schools. The architect of citizenship schools is a woman who is the wife of the sitting president of the Atlanta University Center. Her name is Lugenia Hope. So Lugenia Hope, who is good friends with W.E.B. Du Bois, and the other piece is to look up the relationship between Lugenia Hope and how many different initiatives that she was in partnership with Du Bois, right? So W.E.B. Du Bois and Lugenia Hope, their relationship. They were the teachers for Septima Clark coming from South Carolina, all right? And so, of course, so many of us know Ella Baker from her work as here in Atlanta, at the SCLC, where she worked with Dr. Martin Luther King. And again, she was pivotal in the citizenship schools. And also, if we don't have Ella Baker, We don't have SNCC, which is the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. So the reason why we chose those three women was not simply because of the accomplishments, but again, because of Ubuntu, their relationship with each other, right? They worked together as professionals. They were, Septima Clark is an educator. They continued to work together over time after she matriculated through college and as she went ahead and became a teacher at Charleston, South Carolina school system. And as she continued on, and they fired her, I believe in the year was 1957. Interesting relationship between her being fired and the 1954 decision, Brown versus Board of Education. You should look that up too. And what actually was said inside of that, because it directly connects to the institution that Septima Clark helped to build, which was called the Highlander Center in Tennessee. The Highlander Center in Tennessee was where she would then scale up this project that she was participating in Atlanta with Lugenia Hope. And so I'll give you the institution that Lugenia Hope also helped to build, where she was able to train all of these young students in the summertime. And that was called the Atlanta Neighborhood Union. Mm-hmm. Atlanta Neighborhood Union. These are all things that you can look up and see the relationship to these women and the work that they did. It was absolutely phenomenal. And not for us to just look at, but for us to use as a roadmap for how we might be able to engage our humanity and by extension, the relationships we build as educators. And so that's why we selected these women, is because of the work that they did, of the institutions that they built. And again, we aren't talking about theoretical institutions. These are actually brick and mortar institutions and with over 5 million people impacted. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you the last little numbers. If you want to, and I really encourage you to, is to actually look up the numbers that Septima Clark actually puts up, right? When she, after she develops the education department at Highlander Center, and they really build out the citizenship school piece, the first thing she does is she trains 54,000 people off by, you know, a few numbers. After the 54,000 are trained, she then goes out and deploys these people across the South. And they then teach 5 million people literacy. The 5 million people then go and they pass the test. And then they become voting citizens. Now, mind you, she's a woman, and women don't get the right to vote at the same time as Black men. But it also allows us to examine this idea around Black men willing to take the leadership of Black women. It challenges this idea at the tune of 5 million people. So again, I want us to, if you have time, look at that. Those are all sources you can take a look at and share with each other. And then if you feel so moved, let us collectively get into a practice of following in the footsteps of these great women.
To that point, also from like more of a qualitative perspective, here are a couple quotes, and yes, we can react to these. These are some of the themes that are being pulled out from folks who have participated in Baker Hope and Clark, which is a takeaway is the value in struggling with your students. Having it modeled, so there's that experiential education component. Let me move this box. Having it modeled was really helpful because it felt like we were really learning together. It made the lesson feel more real and personable. I am going to leave behind the idea that students are supposed to produce answers quickly, right? We often honor that speed as the number one marker of intelligence with our kiddos, especially in standardized tests.
Yes.
I think that I have learned a lot about taking your time with the learning and focusing more on the process than the product.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's another reference. I knew about most of the important buildings in downtown since I had lived there for 2 years. However, I was wrong and needed to do more research. I also thought I knew about good teaching strategies, but have had my eyes opened each day by strategies demonstrated here. So when we talk about traditional teacher preparation, we often talk about the theory, as you talked about before, and describing strategies.
Right.
And oftentimes we don't provide enough opportunities for practice of those strategies. And so here's an example of the importance of facilitators to demonstrate those and model those strategies. And last but not least, one of the big ideas that I continued to see showcased was modeling here to this point around modeling. They were showing us how information could be hidden from us, but it is not only just the students, but the teacher's responsibility of learning as a community, growing as a community. And I think the strategies prompting us and provoking us to be curious, to be thoughtful about certain things. Us being students, them being facilitators, all of us learning and growing as a community. And that is how we lead our classrooms.
Yes. One, two.
One, two. Okay. So, you know, of course, we are not naive to the barriers and challenges to be able to implement popular education and community practices. Some of the folks talk about the need for more and more practice around time and scale. How much our schools have become even more hyper-standardized, right?
Yes.
So the curriculum is being a very hyper-standardized place, conflicts with assessments mandated from my school, and not much opportunity to break the rote formula. And then, of course, politics and censoring. Some challenges I can foresee are connected to the new House Bill 1084 may limit my ability to explicitly talk about these subjects. But next steps, what we're thinking about. We're thinking about even more humanizing measures and outputs. So being able to continue to see and offer these opportunities for our participants to be able to practice, observing and co-designing popular education practices in the field while they're student teaching, even more opportunities both within the classroom and within the school, but also at Project South and community-based organizations to work with youth in those settings. We know how it's a different type of political nature in those settings.
That's right.
And redesigning the university-based instruments or the tools for our clinical practice. So being able to see these things and observe them and measure them from a coach's perspective and then reimagining scale. So oftentimes this idea of scale is more, more, more and spread. Rather than depth.
Right.
And so thinking about scale from a depth perspective. So that's really what we're grappling with and what we're excited to move forward in this project.
Yay.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Create Ed. We hope our discussion of the Baker Hope Clark Institute has provided valuable insights into the power of community partnerships and the transformative potential within K-12 education and teacher residencies. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Your feedback helps us continue to bring meaningful content and connect with more listeners passionate about education. You can stay connected with us at the Create Project website. Check below for the link. For updates on the Create Project, Create Ed, and more, we'd love to hear your thoughts, questions, and suggestions for future episodes. Please reach out to us on Instagram and LinkedIn. We want to hear from you. Special thanks to our guests, Jacob Hackett and Ayende Summers. Thank you all both so much for sharing your expertise and your experiences. Now join us next time as we explore the journey of a CREATE math teacher resident as he goes from a resident to a full-time teacher. And we'll dive even deeper into creating environments of joy and thriving for educators and students alike. Thank you for listening. And until next time, let's continue to build strong partnerships, foster thriving educational communities, and transform teacher residency into places of deep joy. Does that sound good?